foster care and adoption is. And so if you guys don't know me, my name is Winter Hendrickson. I have four children that I adopted from the foster care system. And we are expecting, not in the normal way, but we're expecting from China. So we're going to be adopting from China this April. And we are very excited about it. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm super, super excited. Can I just say one thing before I start too about how much I love our church? Like, I just love every single one of you in our church so much. I saw this little article last night on Facebook, because, you know, on Facebook, weird things just random. Like, every person just posts random things, and you're just, like, all over the place. But someone posted, like, this community of people, of friends. They all built houses in the same neighborhood together, and they all lived in the same little neighborhood, and they had their own little thing. It's kind of like a colony, actually, now that I think about it. I don't know, but I was like, oh, I would just love if, like, our whole church just lived in the same neighborhood, and we all just hung out together. It would be so cool, right? I know, I hear the house next to Lisa's house is for sale, so you guys can live across the street from Autumn and Jeff and Lisa. There you go. And behind, Cecile, I know. It's so good. I just love that stuff. I love communal living. But I guess we got to reach out and reach the world. We have to add more people to our church. It's one of those things. More friends, right? More people to love. So I just love you guys so much. I just appreciate you so much. You guys are amazing and make every... It's a joy to be a part of our church, don't you think? Who loves our church? I love our church. It's my fave. Why foster care and adoption? How did we get into it? Let's start there. My husband, Chad, he was a missionary in Ukraine, working with orphanages over there, a rehab home. So these boys in the orphanage were addicted to drugs, so they get sent to this rehab center. So he was playing soccer and ministering to boys that were addicted to drugs without parents. So you can't really walk away from an experience like that and not think about foster care and adoption, because you've seen it firsthand, the effects. These boys were rough. They fought. They were, because you know why? Because that's all they knew. And they were traumatized. And this is just was their lifestyle. They're like 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old boys. And they were just, these are like my kids, you know, being on drugs and strung out. And I just can't imagine that. And so that was kind of where it started. I visited him in Ukraine. And then I went back several times. And my favorite place, there's a couple favorite places in Ukraine, but one of my favorite places was this handicap orphanage. So all the children there were handicapped, mentally and physically disabled, and their parents rejected them, and they don't have a family. And not very many people visited there. It was very poor living conditions, several children in one room. It just smelled like urine all the time. I mean, it was rough, and if you can imagine, it's like a nightmare situation. And for those specific children, after they graduate out of the orphanage, like, what happens to these kids if they don't get adopted? They get sent to this place called Uruli-Bugruli. It means, like, the literal translation of it is very ugly. And it's on the outskirts of town in the city that we were living in. And these orphans, it's like going to an insane asylum, Chad was saying. And they put people in cages there. It's just crazy stuff happening. And missionaries have gone in there since and helped with that organization and got some people fired for doing these things. But it's still a very terrible place for those people, because they're just people. It's like someone that goes to one of our centers in town living in a condition like that. That is horrific. So, that's where it all started. So if you can imagine seeing those things, like, it's engraved and etched in my being and the fibers of who I am, seeing those things firsthand and those experiences, that makes me be like, wow, like, this is a need. This is a crisis. Like, there's 153 million orphans in the earth. 153 million. That number is, like, I can't even, like, process it. I know I did the math recently, and if every Christian couple in the U.S. adopts two, it would, like, eliminate the orphan crisis. So, like, let's just throw that out there. Okay. And then, so we got back from being missionaries. We became foster parents. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I was pretty young when we became foster parents. I was 23, and the boys came to live with us when I was 24. And like a real main reason why we became foster parents is if an orphan stepped onto our doorstep, would we take them in? Like if someone left a baby on our doorstep, would you take them in? Like everybody in this room be like, yes, we'll take care of that child. Like someone gave you that child. It's just one of those things. But like for us, when we weren't registered as foster parents, like we could not meet that need for somebody because we weren't available to meet that need. So I just thought that was like a really cool thought process about foster care. That's basically what it is. It is the United States orphanage. A better form of an orphanage. Yes, we all know institutionalized orphanages aren't a great environment for children to grow up. There's been studies on it. There's still orphanages in the world, but we all know that foster care, being in a family, is the best place for children to grow up in. That's where they feel belong. That's where they thrive the best. That's where they can overcome trauma a little bit better. So we started doing foster care. You guys know, you guys, if you've been around long enough, we adopted Augustine and Nay about 4 years ago, and then a year ago, actually, this week, we adopted Genesis and Gabe. So they lived in our home a little bit longer than that. We've been parents for about 6 years, which is crazy to me. It's only been 6 years. It's crazy how fast your life can change in 6 years. I had zero children, now I have four, soon to be five. It's crazy. It's crazy. And I guess that's how multiplication works. Okay. So right before Jenny and Gabe moved in, I started doing this YouTube channel about foster care and adoption, and I got like a ton of recognition from this, doing this, because I was just like, actually, I just did it because I was bored, and like God breathed on it, and it started to be something people, it was a resource for people, and I was like, awesome, cool, like my little bored, little creative outlet is like turning into something like a ministry, so I was super excited. And then earlier this year, in January, this lady, her name is Christy, she lives in Spearfish. She's a part of an organization called South Dakota Kids Belong. And all the videos we're going to watch today are from that organization. She is doing some crazy stuff. So let me tell you some testimonies of what's going on in Spearfish. So for the last 5 years, there has been no new foster parents in Spearfish at all. Until last fall. And this Christy, she became part of this organization, and she learned that Christians are 3 times more likely to adopt than non-Christians. As a Christian herself, she's like, yeah, I want Christians to adopt as well, because it just makes sense. They have the same belief systems and like all those things. So as Christians, we would want other Christians to adopt. So she was like, I'm going to go start recruiting foster parents. So she went to 4 or 5 churches in Spearfish and started to speak about foster care and adoption. And she found 10 families that wanted to be foster parents, and they went through the foster care system, and now they're like trained foster care parents, like they're in the system. So that's pretty cool. And after 5 years of not having one foster parent go through those classes, like, can you imagine what that would do to a little city? Those foster parents are burnt out. And I will show you the statistics here in just a minute about South Dakota and where we're at. Do you have any extra copies of those, Chad? I just don't want one for myself. Cool. Yeah, so then also, this is really, really cool. So it gets even cooler what God is doing in this realm, in her state, guys. It's pretty cool. They started a relationship with the Department of Social Services, with the government. So the church and the government are getting together, and they started a relationship, and they gave her permission to film children that are legally eligible to be adopted. So they put out 3 videos earlier this year of some kids, and oh my gosh, it's been so cool. Like, the amount of people that inquired after these children in the videos is, like, there's, like, these 2 boys, they wanted to be on a ranch and be adopted with a family that lives on a farm, and 60 people inquired after these kids, which is crazy that they wanted, like, it was working, it was really cool, and, yeah, so all 3 of these kids, one is a teenager who's 16 years old, they all have families. They all have families that want to adopt them now. So they are just about done. They're about ready to be united, and it's going to be really cool. I'm really excited about that, guys. Like, kids are finding their families forever. Could you imagine being in a place where, I don't know, I just can't even imagine, like, where you're looking for your family. Like, I had a really great childhood, like, zero trauma in my childhood. I think in reality, like, there's not much trauma in there. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, not having my parents, like, and looking for my family. Like, it's just mind-blowing. So that's super cool. And then she had a gala to raise money for this organization. She's a Christian. She loves Jesus. And she invited Christy Noem, but Christy Noem said that she couldn't come. So she sent, like, the general, I don't know government terms very well. She could probably tell you better, but I'll find out the real term for it if you want to know. Some sort of general of South Dakota. Some guy. Not attorney general, because that's different. He's someone that's, like, in charge. He's somewhere in the government. He's a leader. And she basically took the invitation into his office, set it on his desk. Christy Noem did, because she's just like that. And she said, "You're going to go to this." And so they're like, "Oh, I guess I'm going to this thing." So, because she's great. I like her a lot. She's really for foster care and adoption. And so he went to this gala, and he stood up and talked on behalf of Christy Noem. And he was, like, blown away by, like, how much people are... what's going on and how these kids are being changed and how they're finding families. And the government is, like, fully backing what's going on in this little organization, which is super cool. And then at that gala, they raised $30,000, guys. That's a lot of money. So, and, like, 90% of that goes straight to, like, recruiting foster parents, like what we're doing right now today. So how cool is that? I'm super excited. These videos that are going to be put out and all sorts of cool stuff. Yeah. That's so cool. So then she contacted me and was like, "Hey, I did this in Spearfish. Do you want to do it in Huron?" And I'm like, because she saw me on YouTube and she's like, "Hey, I love you. Like, we looks like we're like besties." And like, she talked to me on the phone. She prayed for me and prophesied over me. I was like, "Oh, I love this lady. She's so great. Like, we're like friends now." And we like hang out on the phone and we're doing it. We have a purpose and we're going to do it and we're going to recruit foster parents in Huron. And then recently I called this girl. You guys know her, Sarah Waldner. But I called her in Sioux Falls, and she's on board with it, and she's going to do it in Sioux Falls as well. So we are going to eliminate the foster care crisis in South Dakota. Isn't that exciting? That's just cool. Cool testimonies happening everywhere. And honestly, like, the Department of Social Services, I communicated with them, like, what we're doing and the heart behind it, and they are completely on board, completely for everything that I want to do. And actually today, just so that you're mentally prepared if you have any questions or anything, we have a foster to adoption social worker. She's going to be at church here at noon to answer questions for anybody, and I will be too, that either want to support foster care or be in foster care, be foster parents. So that's crazy. That's a lot of, like, support and, like, favor, guys. Like, I just want to say that doesn't happen. So it's pretty miraculous, and everywhere we look, God is doing some crazy stuff. So I just want to pray, and then we will jump into this thing. So, Father, I just thank you so much, God, for just, like, your heart, God, for orphans, and your heart, God, for adoption. God, I just know that you are looking after each of these kids that don't have families right now that are in foster care. And you are looking for their families. You are calling their families right now. You're speaking to people's hearts right now. And Jesus, I just know that you are calling your church, Lord Jesus, to be the answer to these solutions. So God, I pray that the church would rise up right now in this hour and be the church for the orphans of the earth, for the orphans in South Dakota and in Huron, God. We just ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God, also, I just pray right now, if anyone else has a calling on their life right now to do something that is beyond them, I just pray that they would just go for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Yeah, so God is seriously breathing on this topic of adoption and foster care. Like, I've been talking about this subject for forever. Like, I feel like this has been, like, my topic forever. But, like, in this season, I've been asked more to talk about it than any other season of my life. Like, crazy amounts of people talking about this. The governor of our state proclaimed, like, that she's going to use her platform to speak about foster care and adoption. Like, that just doesn't happen. Like, we gotta be, like, aware of, like, the seasons of our life, and, like, this is what God's breathing on. And, like, honestly, like, I'm going to say it. I feel like God is going to end abortion in our nation, which is true. Can you guys see that happening? Like, we all have spiritual eyes to see that. And we can actually see it in the natural. Like, abortion, like, isn't happening as much because of what God's doing. And, like, there's some crazy stuff happening in Missouri even this week. Like, some crazy stuff, guys. So, like, what's going to happen to all those babies, though? They need to be adopted. Something needs to happen. And I feel like this is God's solution. Obviously, the number one solution is they'd be with their biological family and, like, grow up happy and healthy and whole and like, you know, and, like, that's the perfect solution. But this is God's solution as well, is adoption. So I'm just so excited, like, to see, like, what God's doing. Like, even, like, 3 years ago, I wouldn't say that's true, like, that abortion would end in our nation. But, like, now I'm like, oh, my gosh, it totally is going to happen. Like, you can just see it everywhere you look. Isn't that so cool? We've been, like, praying about this thing since, like, 2008, guys. Like, come on. That's so good. Like, 11 years praying about this subject. So I'm just so super excited about it. And so my complete goal today is to raise awareness and to show how you can be a part of the mission field of adoption and foster care, even if you're not a foster parent. This is kind of interesting. So we were ministering in Ukraine, and Chad was always asked by this pastor, this really awesome pastor, we really respect him and love him, but he would always be like, you don't need to be spending that much time with orphans. Like, why are you doing that? You could be church planting. You could be doing these things. And Chad, he's always been someone that just says exactly what he thinks, and this is why I love him. He never tiptoes around people. Even people he loves and respects, he tells them what he thinks, and he's just like, well, because they don't have parents. Like, no one's going to talk to them at night. Like, what do you think? Like, come on. Like, they don't have parents. Like, can you imagine your life without your parents? Okay, yeah, that's why. Okay, done. So he's just, like, unwavered by the fact that even someone that he respects wants him to do something different. But God had that calling for his life, that he knew his purpose and his focus. And I think it's really cool. And this is a really cool scripture. In James 1:27, it says, pure and true religion is taking care of orphans and widows. And we've all heard that scripture before, but I just love it. So another really good reason why orphans is because God said to. You can do it all day long, and it's still pure and true religion. You know what I mean? We can do a lot of religious things, and God doesn't like religion at all, but the religion of taking care of orphans and widows is okay by God. He's like, yeah, let's do it. He's into that. You know why? Because he loves widows and orphans. Because he loves the downtrodden. That's his heart. That's who God is. You guys know, if you've been around him at all, like, you know his heart, and that's who he is. And I love this scripture so much because it's so easy. It's so simple. All right, let's watch a video. Do you want to watch the video, Worthy of Belonging? It's the first one that I sent you, the one we were having a hard time getting up. You want to turn the lights off?
Something happens to you when you don't belong. I can't explain it really. But if you felt it, you know. There are over 400,000 of us in the U.S. foster care system. 100,000 are available for adoption and are waiting for a forever family. The rest of us kids are waiting to be reunited with our birth families and just need a loving foster family while we wait. Without a family, without a place to belong, it feels like no one knows your story. No one really sees you. You feel invisible. You probably don't know how much we need you, but we do. There aren't enough families to love us, to help us heal, to call us theirs. And the truth is, bad things happen when kids don't have a place to belong. Every year, 26,000 leave foster care when they're grown up and still without a family. Half never even got to graduate from high school. Others end up homeless, in trouble with the law, trafficked. It's a big problem, But the solution is so easy, even us kids know it. The solution is you. So it's time you met us. Time you really got to know us. You'll see. We are brave. We are beautiful. We are worthy of belonging. The solution is you. Will you see our faces? Will you tell our stories? Will you help us belong?
I always tell Chad, I'm like, oh, that's the tearjerker one. Here we go. I know, it's a tearjerker. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff, guys. It's healthy. Let's look at it. Okay, so like the video said, there's over 400 children in the foster care system nationwide and 100,000 legally free for adoption and waiting for a forever family. So, and then there's 26,000 aging out without a family every year. I just want to look at this handout that I gave you guys just because statistics help me get my head around a situation. So we have, this is all South Dakota information, so this isn't even nationwide. It's kind of super interesting. So if you look over here at the closer look side, that's the whole state of South Dakota. And on one side, it's how many children are in foster care. And on the other side is how many foster parents there are. And as you can see in the Rapid City area, there's about 400 kids in foster care and about 100 foster parents. Can you say that that's not enough, right? That isn't enough at all. And actually, we got a letter in the mail last year saying that the West River is going to start calling East River foster parents and asking them to take kids and place kids. And they never do that because they don't want to uproot them from schools and different things like that. And like teachers, they want to keep consistency. But because they're overrun by children right now, they've been doing that. And I've had several friends get called with kids from West River placements, which is just crazy for sure. Yeah, those numbers are a little bit staggering. And then if you look over here, these are the ones that were adopted, which is cool. There's 173 children that were adopted in 2018 from foster care. Two of those kids were Jenny and Gabe. That's pretty cool. And their cousin Brooklyn was adopted as well. So we know three of those. So that's kind of cool. And then it breaks down some age demographics. But I think the one that kind of breaks my heart the most is there were 60 children that aged out without a family. And let's talk about that. So aged out, what does that mean? When I say aged out, it means that children that reached the age of 18 or have finished high school and they did not get adopted at all. So they don't, no one adopted them. They aged out of the system. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But when a child is not adopted into a family, they're super vulnerable. There's a lot of bad things that can happen to a person that doesn't have family ties. And like they said in the video, it says less than half graduate from high school. One in four are in trouble with the law. Two-thirds of the ladies, the girls that age out, are pregnant before they're 21. One in four experience post-traumatic stress disorder. That's and then it says more than twice the rate of a U.S. veteran. That's crazy. One in five will be homeless. That's 20%. Yeah. And then all are like at risk of being trafficked. So that is huge. Children just need permanency. Who as an adult, if your parents are still living or if they were, would call your parents often? Like, yeah, I do. I call my mom a lot. I need her in my life. Like, I'm like, hey, how do I parent my child? What are you doing? Like, hey, come talk to me. You know, you still need that attention from your parents even as an adult. It's super important. And so those are like some intimidating numbers. So I just want to take a moment and think of the hundreds of churches in South Dakota. So there's hundreds of churches in South Dakota. And this problem shouldn't be a problem at all, because we have hundreds of churches in South Dakota, right? Hundreds of people that love Jesus and understand the spiritual implications of these children in foster care. In fact, so if two families from every church took in a child, and the rest of the church just kind of like wrapped around them and like ministered to them, supported them, there wouldn't be nearly enough kids to go around, right? We'd actually have lines of families waiting for children to be adopted instead of lines of children waiting for a family. Isn't this what it should be? Like, so that's like my life dream, is having more adoptive foster parents than there are children. These statistics on this page the foster parents should always be more than the kids. There should always be a solution for them. The dream of my life really is the orphans would find their homes and they would be in God's family. And I think this is where the church can step in. So foster care is a place where the church can step in and to help the children and the family to reconcile and reunite. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Isn't that what it's all about, right? And when the goal is not attainable, we as a church will step in and adopt for them. So like this is like the gospel lived out. Like literally, like we're living out our lives in this way. We are working together with families. I think sometimes as people, as human beings, not just Christians, like it's just hard because that would mean a lot of sacrifice on our side. That would mean a lot of like, not me. That would mean like, I wouldn't get as much me time. I wouldn't get enough like, you know, whatever it is I want to do in that moment. But like when God's calling us to something to be a solution, it does take sacrifice, but like it's so worth it. I just want to like say that loud. It's so worth it. And I know like we'll get into this in a minute, but like I know we're not all called to adopt, but we're all called to sacrifice before the Lord. And to like, we're not called to be super selfish people. Like that's not what Jesus died for. You know what I mean? He didn't die for us to come and have like super comfortable, perfect little lives that are like not sacrificial. That's not why he came to die. He came to die to end stuff like this, like orphans to have homes, guys. That's why he came to make the wrong things right. That's who Jesus is, to connect his church to the Father, which is adoption. And also, like, I think it's so cool. Like, sometimes, like, the church is scared to work with the government. And what would happen if the church started working with the government in this way? What would happen if we became, like, this crazy resource for displaced children? Like, the government would call on the church to take care of the displaced children. And we just were like, we'll take that for you. You don't have to worry about that anymore. We got all the kids that you can't find homes for. Like, they should never have a problem finding homes for children because there's a church in South Dakota. You know what I'm saying? There's people that love Jesus in South Dakota. All children should have a home. So, like, let's talk about it. So you might be thinking, I'm in no place to adopt at all. Like, I'm too old, I'm too young. There's many reasons that might be popping into your mind right now. Like, I'm super busy. I have 5,000 kids, which we all have 5,000 kids, which is true. I only have five kids, so close to 5,000. but what about the many people that don't know is that there isn't that many limitations, actually, for fostering and adopting parents. Like, there really isn't. Like, you actually can be a single person and adopt from the foster care system. There's not really an age limit. You have to be 21, like for like the young part of it. But like, I don't think there's an age limit for the elderly part of it. Like, I don't think so. So like, and you basically just pass some background checks and some child abuse things, and like, you can be a foster parent. I'm just saying, there's not very many limitations, whereas there is with a lot of international adoptions and things like that. And also, maybe you're thinking, like, I'm just not equipped to parent. I'm not equipped to do this thing. And I think that every parent in here would say they're not equipped to parent. Like, maybe it's just me, but, like, I was 24 years old parenting almost an 11-year-old. I was 14 when he was born. like, I had no idea about boys. I grew up with sisters, you know, and like, God's grace came and it just worked. I mean, I did feed my daughter a hot dog, peanut butter and jelly sandwich this morning. So like, for breakfast. So like, we're not, we don't have to be like perfect cookie cutter parents to be like this awesome foster parent, but like, you just gotta like, there's not very many limitations. If I can do it, you can do it, is all I'm saying. And finances also, I think this is like one thing I want to mention, because a lot of people are put off by finances and kids are really expensive. Yes, I do know that. I think I read a statistic that it's like $500,000 to raise a child in their lifetime, which is, I don't know, it seems a little high, but it's probably true thinking about it. My boys can eat, man. All right. All right. Well, foster care, parents must be able to meet their own financial needs. You must take care of your own self. But there is reimbursements to, like, take care of each child. It ends up being about $500 per child and when they're in the foster care system. And then even afterwards, they also give you something called an adoption subsidy. So you get paid, like, $500 per child a month afterwards as well. And they have insurance for the rest of their life. Not the rest of their life, till they're 18. Till they finish college or something like that. So, yes. And we can ask Dana that when she's here, too. So it's basically free. And I know they paid for all of our legal fees, too, when they were adopted. The state did. Yeah, our state is super generous when it comes to foster parents. They really take care of them financially. And they just really supply all your needs. So that shouldn't really hold you back. So I just think it's really great. I just want to mention that because sometimes there's a lot of fear involved with that kind of stuff. And even if all those things, you're like, I still cannot do it, like, at all, there's still a way that you can help support foster care and adoption. And so I know not everyone is called to it, but I know that God's calling a lot of people to it, in this season especially. But if you can't, you can become something that I'm only opening up to our church at this time, and it's called a wraparound family. And so I just want to show this video about a wraparound family and tell you what it's about first before we talk about it.
Foster care and adoption is not an easy road for families. It's painful, it's messy, but it doesn't have to be lonely. For families on this journey, Wraparound provides educational resources and builds a safe community for you as you say yes to serving children. Wraparound is also building a community around you, people eager to join with you in saying yes by meeting your family's tangible needs. Whether you have experienced infertility or have placed your child up for adoption, are struggling to develop attachment with a foster child, or in the midst of the long waiting process of international adoption, or other issues related to this journey, Wraparound is here to serve you. But Wraparound is an exciting opportunity for everyone. Not everyone is called to foster or adopt, but everyone is called to care. Wraparound bridges the needs of church members with the resources of the church body. The church is the largest organized, mobilized, and called body of volunteers in the world. Sometimes we just need something to say yes to. The families who have courageously answered the call to foster or adopt cannot do it alone. One of the most common causes of breakdown in these families is a lack of social support. But sometimes it just takes one person to change the story. Sometimes it just takes one more person to say yes. Whether you're 10 years old or 80, a business person, stay-at-home parent, or student, Wraparound is for you. From dropping off a lasagna or mowing a lawn to providing childcare or tutoring, there really are countless ways to care. Wraparound gives us all the opportunity to say yes. Join Wraparound. Discover your yes.
Yes, that's so cool. I'm just excited about that. So what a wraparound family. You can turn the lights on real quick. You want to sit in the dark. The youth likes it in the dark. That's so cool. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open it up to just our church. And so if you want to sign up to be someone that mows a foster family's yard or brings them toilet paper each month or does something like that. I have a lot of foster friends that really just need support. Actually what they need the most is someone to call them once a month and just pray for them on the phone. I know that in the thick of things, that's what I desired the most, is someone just to say, hey, you have some stuff going on in your life and I'm going to pray for you, and just kind of acknowledge the fact that it's hard and that you're there and you care and you're praying, literally praying on the phone. So those are some really cool things that we can do, I think, as a church body to help foster care and adoptive families. Isn't that exciting, guys? That's so exciting. I'm super pumped about it. So, like I said, we're going to have a little meeting after church. Hopefully, I'll be done here in just a couple minutes. We're going to meet right over here at noon. You can answer questions about foster care and adoption. And Dana will be here as well, the social worker. So if you want to be a foster parent, you can do that. And you can also sign up to be a foster parent today. I have a card, so that's exciting stuff. I'm prepared, guys. Got you covered. All right. So, there's so many things, too, that you could do even besides that. Let's say you have, other skills and stuff. Let's say you have a Facebook page, even. I'm going to be posting videos about children that need to be adopted. You just put it out there. If you just take 40 seconds and share that video, that could be the matter of, someone you know could adopt that child. So it just getting the word out there, spreading things around. If you're one of those mamas that love giving diapers or something, giving meals, really good at that stuff, just come to that meeting. We all have skills that we can give. And then I'm going to show one more video here, and then we're gonna finish up. We're going to show you a video of, his name is Trayvon. This hasn't been released to the general public yet, but his video was filmed about 2 weeks ago or so. He is eligible for adoption. Let's watch his little video. Alex is doing a great job. I gave him zero prep.
I'm thankful you guys took me in, and thank you very much. Do game night, go to other people's house and play with them, and mostly that's it. I like playing video games with them. And that's it. I like playing soccer and basketball and doing Legos. They would say, good job, nice shot, I like your moves. Hawaii, because I like it there. I like how they, I like swimming and surfing. That I like basketball. I believe in people that they could do it.
Right, that's Trayvon. He's 10 years old. He is legally eligible for adoption in South Dakota. So you guys just pray for me right now for him. Jesus, we just come before you and we lift up Trayvon before you, God. And I just ask you, God, for his family to come forth, God, in South Dakota. And we just ask that he would find his family as soon as possible. God, I pray that even today, God, you would find his family. We just ask you, God, for his needs to be met, God, and you should make him like whole and healthy in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't he cute? He doesn't even look like one of my little cutie kids. He's just cute. Actually, something cool that's happening in just a few months, they have a sibling group of 8 kids they're going to release a video on, ages 2 to 14. So if you're interested, let me know. Who else wants it? Where's Shannon? I'm just kidding. Shannon. Just kidding. She's at a different church today. So, all right. So these kids, like, seriously, how cute was that child? Like, oh my gosh, right? He's just a 10-year-old little guy, you know? Like, these kids deserve to be more than just a statistic. Like, they deserve to have a face and a voice. They deserve to be fought for. Together, we can answer God's call to care for the vulnerable and to show that they are brave, beautiful, and worthy of belonging. And before I end here, I wanted to share with you guys, like, the ultimate adoption story. And that is, of course, that God fathers us, that we are his sons and daughters. And this is just so completely true. So in Ephesians 1:3-6, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessings." And so here it comes. He said, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." So it just makes him happy. It gives him pleasure that he adopted us. That he like predestined, predestination, you know, guys. He predestined to adopt us as sons and daughters. And I just feel like sometimes even Christians, like, we run around like we're orphans, like we don't have families. We act on the past, you know, like the past experiences that we have and the trauma that we have experienced. And we just need to remember that we are part of Father God's family. He adopted us. He cares for us. He can help us heal. He can help us become whole. And he can help us become a part of a family. He can give us those feelings of belonging. And so that's like the gospel. That's like who God is. He is our Father, and he loves us so much. And through adoption, like, to him, that just changes everything. It's a game changer for me. I'm like, oh, I'm God's kid. Like, I'm okay. Like, I'm going to make it. I'm not worried about money. God's my Father. Like, we're good over here, right? So let's just pray. Father, I just pray for every person in this room right now. Father, Jesus, I just ask you right now, God, that you would just touch each person, God, that they would have a realization of sonship and daughtership in you, that they would fully embrace, God, who you are, God, and that you are their Father, God. I pray that you would heal all father wounds in this place right now, too, God. You'd help them be whole and healed and apart, God. We just ask you for that miracle to happen, Jesus. And we just ask you too, God, for anyone that is being called, Lord Jesus, into adopting or foster care or even to supporting foster parents and adoptive parents, God, I pray that you would just touch their hearts right now, God. And they would just feel that call and they'd be able to say yes to it. We just thank you for what you're doing. God, we thank you for the kids that have already been adopted, God, but we just ask for more. We ask you for the miracle of South Dakota, like, where there's more foster parents than there is kids that are in foster care, God. We ask you for that miracle right now, God, that the church would be the solution for the foster care system, God. We just ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, guys. That's all I have for today. Like I said, we're going to have a little meeting right here pretty much within 5 minutes after church is done. So if you want to come over here, if you want to be a wraparound family or if you want to be a foster parent, we'll just meet over here. And then Dana. Oh, Dana's here. Yay. Hi. Welcome. Welcome to our church. She's going to be here and she's going to answer some questions for us as well. So, and that's everything. All right. We'll see you guys later. Bye.